Welcome back to the BunSports.com podcast. We're now 5 weeks away from college football season. We are getting excited here at BunSports.com. I'm Jacob Bunn here at BunSports.com, joined by the college football professor, as I am every week, and we've been previewing different aspects and angles of this 2015 season, which is now a little over 5 weeks away. Professor, today we are going to go through the coaches in the SEC. That's right, one by one, the professor is going to tell me where these coaches stand right now in terms of job performance, job security, and he has a categorization system, and he's going to tell me where they stand. So we'll start right off the top in the East. I'm going to head to the East, and the Georgia Bulldogs and Mark Richt, who is in his 15th year, if you can believe that, a decade and a half in Athens, and he is 136-48 overall as a head coach. Where does Coach Richt stand right now? He's been on the hot seat the last few years.
Yes, I know he's been on the hot seat, but if I look at the 14 coaches in the SEC, I kind of think of them in terms that they're four at the top and they're four at the bottom, and there's six in between.
So where does Coach Richt fall?
And I put Richt there in the top four, and I'm actually going to put him number three or four. I'm going to say number three. And I'll tell you why. When I look at his record, you've just listed as 136 wins and 48 losses. His record in the SEC as an SEC coach, which is the only place he's ever been head coach, against top 10 teams, he's 12 wins and 16 losses. Against top 25 teams, he's 38 and 33. So I'm going to say that he'd probably be number three or four.
Okay, 10-3 a year ago, whipping of Louisville in the Belk Bowl to end last year. So some good things there. Butch Jones at Tennessee, he is now in his third season, if you can believe it. Seems like he just got there, and he seems to be turning things around in Knoxville. His record is 12-13. It's a losing record, but not by much. A lot of people expect that to change over the next year, but anyway, that he'll win some games. Where does Coach Jones fall?
Well, I put him at the very bottom of the middle group. As I said, four at the top, four at the bottom, six in the middle. And this is where I see him. Now, I'm not saying what he might do in the future, but as you've just alluded, he's 12-13. But when you look at his overall record and think in terms of what he's done, his record against top 10 teams as on his overall record is not very good, nor is his record against top 25 teams.
Yeah, they were 7-6 last year, and they did get to a bowl, and they were able to win that bowl game. They beat Iowa. Gary Pinkel now in his 15th year at Missouri, of course. He was there a long time before they actually became an SEC program, but he comes back again this year, like Mark Richt. 15 years, that's the two longest head coaching tenures currently in the league as far as straight-on coaching tenure. Steve Spurrier's been around for a while, but his has been broken. He is 113-66 in his time in the Columbia of the West. That would be Columbia, Missouri. So where does Coach Pinkel? I have to think he ranks pretty high on this list.
Well, he does rank pretty high if you looked at it overall, but when you're in the SEC, Jacob, he's going against some really, really good competition. I'd put him also in that middle six. And I look at not only his overall record, he's had a good overall record, but the problem is, Jacob, when you really stop and think about it, he is 16-36 in his career against top 25 teams, and he's 1-11 against top 10 teams. So I would say that he would rank in the middle of the middle.
Okay. Well, I think Coach Pinkel definitely has consistency, but that's a pretty interesting statistic about his record versus top 25 teams. Jim McElwain taking over a program that last year was 7-5 under Will Muschamp. Of course, he is fired. He is out the door. And Jim McElwain has a clean slate, has no history at the University of Florida. He does have some history at Colorado State, where he is 22-16 as a head coach. But he comes in with a lot of promise. The question I have for you is, where does he rank coming in to his tenure at Florida?
I would have to put him in that bottom four,
yeah,
because he of the simple fact he just doesn't have enough experience with it. We don't know that much about him. Everything looks good. And, Jacob, when you talk about the 14 coaches, head coaches in the SEC, we're talking about really the cream of the crop nationally. So for him to be ranked in the bottom four is not really a disgrace, because he's still in, you know, would be looked at and viewed in the top, one of the top coaches in the country.
Steve Spurrier, a guy who's been vocal of late for different issues surrounding his program and where they are heading into 2015. He is in his 11th year at South Carolina, 84-45 at the University of South Carolina. That is quite a remarkable statistic for a program that has been dismal and throughout its history, but he has really turned it around. And for people to argue at all with the job he has done there is really ridiculous. He's 226-85 overall as a head coach. The guy can flat out coach, and we know that. But 7-6 last year, some people think that he's losing it. So I guess this is an interesting one. Where do you have Coach Spurrier?
I would have to put him at in the second spot,
yeah,
as far as the SEC coaches are concerned. And when people look at the last year's record, you know, most of the time when you're judging coaches, you don't just say last year. You probably say the last 4 or 5 years. So mm-hmm. You look at the last 4 or 5 years, his record's going to be quite good. Now, here's the deal. His all-time in the SEC, his record against the top 10 is 7 wins and 14 losses. And
that's pretty good.
His record against top 25 is 19-26. Now, his total record as a head coach against top 10 is 25-31-1. So really, he's had a good overall,
yeah,
record, because he's been at different places, and he's really a top-notch coach.
Well, again, he's doing that at South Carolina, a program that you really have to respect anybody who can get to where they're consistently beating top 10 teams and being in the top 10. South Carolina's been in the top 10 ranked in the last few years.
If I were giving these coaches a 1-10 ranking, there would be only one coach in the conference I'd give a 10 to. And there would be only one coach I would give a 9 to, and that 9 would go to Steve Spurrier.
Right. And I can't imagine who would get that 10, but we may cross that bridge in a few minutes. Let's go to Mark Stoops at the University of Kentucky. He's in his third year. I can't believe that. 7-17 overall as a head coach at Kentucky. Of course, we know the Stoops name. It's the brother of the head coach of Oklahoma, Bob Stoops. So I guess the question, where does he rank? Some people think he's really about to turn the corner at Kentucky, but we've seen success there with Rich Brooks and others.
Well, when he turns the corner, then we'll begin putting him on Main Street.
Right.
But he hasn't turned the corner yet. And, in fact, he's a long way from the corner as far as I'm concerned. I do believe he's doing a good job. There again, he's in the SEC, so when you begin to stack him up, you're looking at these other coaches that we've already, some of them which we've already mentioned. But I would put him in the bottom four, but I would put him as a really up-and-coming coach. I believe he will do well, but at this point, we can only go on his record, and which he doesn't have much of one.
Derek Mason doesn't have much of one either. He's only got 1 year, and that was a pretty bad year. He was 3-9 as the head coach at Vanderbilt. Of course, he came from Stanford. He was the defensive coordinator for the Cardinal before becoming the head coach at Vanderbilt, but a really bad year last year, and I don't think there's any suspense around where Coach Mason falls in this ranking.
No, and the fact that it's not just his bad record last year, the team just didn't look good. It doesn't look like he has the team going in the right direction. And unless there's some real change, he's going to be at the bottom of the heap again next year. I know that Derek Mason is a tremendous football coach, but whether he's a great head coach or not, I don't know.
Well, we go from one unsuspenseful ranking to another, and that would be the head coach at Alabama, Nick Saban. He's in his 9th year in Tuscaloosa, and I don't need to read his accolades. Of course, 91-17 in his time in Tuscaloosa. Unbelievable record there, 182-59-1. Last year, 12-2, they came up just short in the college football playoff game against Ohio State. A lot of people think that they have a chance to make it back again this year. The records, the statistics that he's put up there, shattered records that Bear Bryant set at Alabama. So, obviously, I'm sure Coach Saban's the top of the league for you.
Yes, he would be the one that gets that 10, as I mentioned just a moment ago. But what separates him from Rick and Spurrier and Miles, we'll get to Miles in a moment, mm-hmm, is his record as a as a coach in the SEC, against top 10, he's 17-7 against top 10. He's 33-14 against top 25 teams. So it's quite, you know, that's where he separates himself. And then, of course, championships, that separates him as well.
Let's move on now. As you said, to Les Miles, let's go straight from Saban to Miles, the guy who took over for Nick Saban, can you believe it, 11 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. He's been a head coach in Baton Rouge. He is 103-29. What a record at LSU, 103-29. Of course, 131-50 as a head coach. He was at Oklahoma State before he came to Baton Rouge. 8-5 last year, though. He was 8-5 last year, 10-3 in 2013, 10-3 in 2012. LSU is a program that a lot of people think should be in competition for that national championship slot or that playoff now every single year. 8-5 isn't going to cut it with Tiger fans. So is his stock trending downward, or is he still one of the top coaches and you think he's going to get him right back in championship form?
Well, I place him in that top four, but as you just said, he may be trending down just a little bit. His stock may be on the decline. But one of the things you can look at, again, against the top 10, he has 11 wins and 15 losses. He against the top 25 as an SEC coach, he's 39-21, which is a good record. And he has a real good record. He's an outstanding coach. But for some reason, it just seems to be some slippage there with the LSU Tigers. And I'm not sure what it is, but this could be a year where he turns it back upstream.
To some other Tigers, those located in our state here, the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn is now in his third season, and it has been quite a ride for Auburn fans. The first year, of course, they only lost one game, and they went all the way to the national championship game where they lost their second game against Florida State. And then last year, it was 8-5, disappointing down the stretch. They dropped games against Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama, and they also were beaten in a bowl game by Wisconsin. They lost four of their last five games, so not a positive finish to the year for Malzahn. But still, I think a lot of Auburn fans are optimistic with him at the helm in Auburn.
Well, they have reason to be optimistic, but when you really begin to compare him, I would put him in that middle six. And it would be between he and Sumlin on who's the top of the heap in that middle six that I just spoke of. One of the things you have to look at is that his record as an SEC coach against the top 10 is 4 wins and 4 losses. His record against the top 25 teams as an SEC coach, he's 8-6. And if you look at his overall record, of course, that being at Arkansas State and Auburn, against the top 25, he's 8 wins and 7 losses. So you have to think of him as one whose stock may be trending up, but it's going to have a little bit more in the fodder before we can move him up.
Brett Bielema, he's entering his third year in Arkansas, and a lot of Arkansas fans, you talked about a downward slide for Auburn at the end of the year. Well, it was an upward slide if you're an Arkansas fan because they hadn't won an SEC game in 2 years. And they knock off LSU, they knock off Ole Miss, and they were able to close the season quite nicely and then throttled Texas in the Texas Bowl. So the question now I have is as Bielema, he's 10-15 overall. That's not a winning record, 7-6 last year. But these Razorbacks seem to be turning that corner, so where does he fall?
Well, I would put him in that middle pack again. I would put him below Malzahn and Sumlin. But when you the one thing you look at is his record against the top 10 overall, that's at Wisconsin and at Arkansas, is 3 wins and 15 losses. His record against top 25 teams at both schools, that is his career, he's 12 wins and 26 losses. So you really can't put him up into the top echelon with that kind of record.
Hugh Freeze is entering his fourth season in Oxford. He is the head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels. They were 9-4 a year ago, and they got embarrassed in the New Year's Six game. They played in the Peach Bowl, and TCU wore them out in that game. He is 24-15 overall as a head coach at Ole Miss as a head coach, period. Of course, he came from Arkansas State, too, like Malzahn. He is 34-17. Hugh Freeze has done some positive things in Oxford, but, man, Ole Miss fans did not like the way that season ended last year.
Well, if you took 1 or 2 years out, you know, just pull those out and looked at it, you would be really impressed and want to move him up. I have him in that middle six. But his record as an SEC coach against top 25 teams and the top 10 teams, he's 3 wins and 8 losses against top 10 and 5 wins and 11 losses against top 25. So that leaves a little bit. He's got a little bit to prove.
Kevin Sumlin at Texas A&M. He is 28-11 overall. They were 8-5 last year. And let me say this: they're 8-5 last year, and they're 8-5 without one Johnny Manziel at the quarterback position for Kevin Sumlin's team. So they were 11-2 in his first year, 9-4 in the second year. But how much of that is attributed to Johnny Manziel, and how much pressure is on Kevin Sumlin now that he doesn't have Manziel and they're going 8-5?
I think there is some pressure on him, but he's proven himself at Houston and at Texas A&M. His record is quite good. He's really an outstanding coach, but I'm wondering if he's going to be able to move up into the elite coaches. I'm not sure of that. Right now he's 4 wins and 5 losses overall against top 25. He's 10-10 against, 4-5 against top 10 and 10-10 against top 25 teams. In some ways, that's kind of where you have to look at it when you're evaluating a coach. You look at what he's done against top teams as well as winning championships. Those are the two factors you have to put in, as well as the overall record. But those are the ways you can really measure where a coach is right now. But I would have to say that that both Sumlin and Malzahn are coaches that seem to have a real bright future that could move up out of this group.
Our final coach that we'll look at is Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, and his team was 10-3 a year ago. His overall record, and again, you have to take into account, this is Mississippi State, 46-31. That's by far a winning record. They were 10-3 last year, 7-6 the year before, 8-5 the year before that, 7-6, 9-4. Those are his records at Mississippi State. In my opinion, in Starkville, that's pretty impressive.
It is, and what he does there in Starkville, I would have to put him at the top of the bottom four. That's where I would place him. And that's not a slap at him. It just means they're just really good coaches all throughout the SEC. But the question was how long it took him to win his first game against a West team other than Ole Miss. And last year, of course, he had a great record. And if he can back that up again, then we can begin to his stock will begin to rise. But until it does, he's got a lot of investment to do yet.
So there's a look at the college football coaches. Nobody's really on the hot seat this year. Maybe Derek Mason, you could say, really needs to show something this year, or he could be in jeopardy. But other than that, I think SEC coaches are in a pretty good spot this year, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. I don't think anybody on the hot seat, but I do think there's a couple of places. For instance, I think at Georgia and Georgia this year, because I think a lot is expected of them this year.
Yep.
In order, and I don't mean that Rick would be in trouble or anything like that, but just for the psyche of the Georgia fans, they need to have a really good year. And then I think Les Miles at LSU, in order to get them to be encouraged, they need to have a good year.
I think you're absolutely right. Those two programs need to have good years, and I think Jim McElwain needs to get off to a good start. Of course, he's got a lot of leeway being first-year head coach, but he needs to get off to a good start in Gainesville. Well, we'll be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the players that could be the biggest, have the biggest impact on this 2015 SEC season, the offensive defenses and freshmen, too. So I hope you stick around for that. That's coming up next week on the BunSports.com podcast. For the College Football Professor, I am Jacob Bunn. We are now 5 weeks away from college football season.